Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Scott shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.
When we look at John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus's death, the focus oftentimes ends up being on the story of Lazarus, his relationship with Mary and Martha, the fact that Jesus came and called him out of the grave. But is that really the purpose of the story? Is that the main purpose of the story? I think that it's not the main purpose of the story. And we have to look at the Gospel of John to understand a little bit about why John brought us to the place that we are in chapter 11. And one of the things that we tend to focus on is the here and now of what we're reading rather than the story as a whole. The raising of Lazarus from the dead is not the Lord's last miracle before the cross, but it certainly was the greatest, the one that arose the most response, both in his friends and his enemies, as a miracle that could not be denied or avoided by the Jewish leaders. If Jesus Christ had done nothing about death, then whatever else he can do amounts to nothing. A quotation from 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men are most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Death is man's last enemy. 15:26. But Jesus Christ has defeated this horrifying enemy totally and permanently. So the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead is not just a story about Jesus raising someone from the dead because he loved him and cared for him. It has a much deeper meaning and deeper understanding. Remember in John 10, Jesus in the story of the Good Shepherd, he said, "This is why my Father loves me, because I lay down my life so I may take it up again. I have the right to lay it down. I have the right to take it up again." Jesus predicted more than one place in the Gospel of John that he would die, that he would go to the cross, that he would sacrifice himself for us. He alluded to it in several different places. But then when we come to the story of Lazarus' death, we get caught up oftentimes in the story itself. Mary and Martha were broken. They were hurting. Lazarus was dead. He was in the grave for 4 days. And it was intentional on Jesus' part. It was intentional not to go while Lazarus was still alive. It was intentional for him to leave Lazarus until he died, until he was buried. In verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Later on, Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am on my way to wake him up." Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll get well." Jesus, however, was speaking about his death. And later on he said, "Jesus, Lazarus has died. I am glad for you that I wasn't here so that you may believe." And then talking to Martha, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this?" Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." That's the purpose of the story of Lazarus dying. Jesus could have shown up before Lazarus died. He deliberately did not do that. He stayed 2 more days after he got the message. Then he went to Judah to bring Lazarus from the dead. And the entire purpose of what Jesus did was to demonstrate what he already claimed to be true, that he had the power to lay his own life down and to take it up again, but he also had the power to raise someone from the dead once they were dead completely. And it is important for us to recognize this miracle because he had to demonstrate not only to his friends who believed, Mary and Martha and others who believed, that his disciples who believed, the disciples were often failing. Oftentimes they were weak. Oftentimes they didn't see the plan. Mary and Martha were the same way. But the important part about this is that Jesus was able to do what he said he was going to do. He was able to accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish. Because Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. Jesus is the one who will raise us up in the last day. And if he was not able to do that, then our faith is worthless. Then Christianity is no different than any other religion in the world that claims to know the truth about God but has no power to change people's lives. So in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 16, "For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin." When we think about the gospel, I think what we do oftentimes is we talk about the death of Christ, that he died and paid the penalty for our sin. There's no question that that's true. Jesus did die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sin. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day, and that completes the gospel picture. Because what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 is that if Christ had not been raised, we are still dead in our sin. The resurrection is the proof positive of not only Christ's complete sacrificial payment for our sin, but also of the assurance and the assurance that we have life beyond this life. When John 3:16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and if you believe, you have the promise of eternal life." Well, that's true, but the promise of eternal life is not complete just in believing in Jesus. It's complete because he rose from the dead. He rose himself from the dead. And other places it says the Father rose him from the dead. So it's not a conflict of hearing what is being said, because Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is just as much God as the Father is. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Father and the Son are. So they have one thought, one mind, one heart in relationship to who we are as believers. So those who have fallen asleep in Christ, he says, will not perish. If we have put our hope, this is verse 19, if we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be more pitied than anyone. We can live a great life. We can live a comfortable life. We can live a good life. And we can be blessed beyond measure in this life because we know Christ, we love Christ, he works in our hearts and our lives. But if this is all there is, in a sense, why bother? We should be more pitied than anyone because we commit our life to something that's not going to last. Verse 20 says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who remain will go with them up into the clouds. One of the problems in first century Christianity, before even these letters were written, is that people believed that Jesus was going to come back right then. They didn't expect him to wait. They certainly didn't expect him to wait 2,000 years. But people were concerned because their friends were dying, people that knew the Lord were dying, people that loved Jesus were dying, people that faithfully loved Christ were being persecuted, and not only being persecuted, but being killed because they claimed Christ. And people were concerned because what about those who have passed away? What about those who were martyred? What about those who died of old age? What about those who were believers and faithful? What's their future like? The promise of Paul through Christ is that the resurrection promises us, Jesus' resurrection promises us that we will have eternal life and it will last forever. There will be no end to it. When we leave this world and go to the next world with Christ, where Christ is, we have the promise of the resurrection. We have the promise that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. 1 Corinthians tells us a lot more. It says, "Death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man." Now, without getting too theological, Adam was the first Adam, obviously. But Jesus Christ was the second Adam. The first Adam failed and became a sinner. And Jesus came and paid the penalty for our sin so that we will be made alive. That's what he says. In Adam all died. In Christ all will be made alive. There is no hope for us apart from the resurrection of Christ, because otherwise we would not have the opportunity to live a perfect eternal existence beyond the grave, beyond this life. Those who belong to Christ are Christ's. Those who belong to Christ will experience eternal life. And it is amazingly important to us to recognize that Jesus gave us the ability to experience the power of the resurrection of Christ in our life. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul challenges us in a very serious way to walk our Christian life out, not in our own power, not in our own ability. He tells us that in verse 10, "My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering." Paul was what we would consider to be a super saint. He did not believe in Christ when Christ was here on the earth, but he met Jesus in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. And when he met Christ, he believed in him. He went into the wilderness for a time, and Christ changed his mindset from a devout Jewish person who believed in the Old Testament completely to someone who could correlate the truth of the Old Testament with what Christ did. So Paul tells us, "My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection." And then he tells us in verse 12, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it," the goal, "because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus." I make every effort. What happens a lot of times is that we tend to drift through life. We tend to take life for granted. We take one day the same as another day. And we tend to treat life as though we have a good life and we have a blessed life and we have a great opportunity to enjoy our life, but we don't necessarily live our life for Christ. We don't necessarily live our life as a believer in Christ. And Jesus tells us through Philippians, through Paul, that we need to make every effort to understand the relationship that we have with Him. Now remember what Paul said about his goal. My goal is to know Him. To know Him. That doesn't mean a cursory reading of Scripture in the morning for 5 minutes. It doesn't mean praying for a few minutes in the morning. It doesn't mean not studying and not preparing ourselves or not learning what the Word of God has to say. Paul said, my goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. We talked about the resurrection. So what is the power of the resurrection? That's a question that a lot of people can't answer. But John 14 tells us that Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, and He will guide you into all truth. And all that truth that He's going to guide us into is about Himself and the relationship that we have with Him, because He tells us in John 14 also, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So when He talks about knowing Christ, when He talks about my goal is to know Him, it's to know as much as is humanly possible to know about Jesus. And it's all given to us here in this book. It's all given to us in the Word of God. At least as much as we can know and understand. Because John tells us at the end of the book that if everything that Jesus did was written, the world would not contain all the books that were written. But He wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand Him. He wants us to recognize Him for who He is and experience the power of the resurrection of Christ in our life. Now, we have a lot of different places in Scripture that talk about walking in the Spirit, that talk about walking with Christ. But until we know Him, do we really understand how to walk with Him? More and more, we need to understand Him and what the Word of God has to say about Him, who He is, what He's done. Because as we know Christ, and this is the positive side of what I'm saying, because I think that sometimes we feel like we're being beat down, but that's really not the case. As we know Him more, conversation about Christ becomes natural to us because we desire to share the truth, to recognize how Jesus can change somebody else's life in a positive way. One of the hardest things for us to recognize, or to accept, I think is a better way to say it, is we do not change people's lives. We do not change anybody. We can offer a word of encouragement. We can offer a word of advice. We can offer a helpful comment. We can even share an important part of Scripture with somebody. But it is not us who changes lives. Only Jesus changes lives. Only Jesus can change someone's life. He's the one who has the power to change the life. The power of the resurrection of Christ is Christ in you, the hope of glory, according to Colossians 1:27. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the truth of who Jesus is given to us by the Spirit of God who works in our hearts and lives, the counselor who leads us into all truth, and He's going to lead us into all truth about who Jesus is. The message is Jesus in us, the hope of glory. He's the one who changes lives. He's the one who brings about change. He's the one who does in us what we cannot possibly do ourselves. The Holy Spirit who lives in us, who teaches us about who Christ is. And we have to understand that reality, because if we don't understand the reality of who Jesus is, our focus becomes not about Christ himself in us, but about another spirit who's working in us, not teaching us what we need to know about Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:25 tells us, he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. So when we think about the reality of our relationship with him, we have to think seriously about the reality of what his whole life purpose was. Jesus came for the purpose of dying on a cross. There's no question that that's why he came, to pay the penalty for our sin. But the gospel picture is complete only through the resurrection of Christ. And that's the promise of eternal life. Because Jesus raised himself from the dead, and Jesus promised in John chapter 11, verse 25, that he is the resurrection and the life. He didn't just say, I am the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. That's the promise. The promise is, not only will we be raised from the dead, but we will live. John tells us in the beginning of John chapter 1 that life was in him. As we look at this picture, the promise is life. The promise is not only resurrection, but life that will go on for eternity, way beyond this life. In fact, some people say, well, this 75 years is just a twinkle in our eye. It's just a beginning. It's just something to open our eyes to see the truth, to recognize him for who he is. So as we come back to the story of Lazarus for a moment, I'm not going to read the entire passage, but I am going to touch on a few things here real quickly. Verse 17, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, look, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Your brother will rise again, Jesus said. And Martha said, I know he'll rise again on the last day. Then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Mary heard that and said, and as soon as she heard this, she got up quickly, went to him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoled her, saying that Mary got up quickly and went out, so they followed her, surprising that she was going to the tomb to cry there. When Mary saw him, she fell to her feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus did not create us to die. He did not create us to die. He created us to live. He created us to live forever. And because Scripture tells us that he is the image of God, the firstborn of all creation, that he is the one who actually performed the creation that we look at, he breathed life into man. It was never his intention for people to die. And because he breathed life into men, I think that that's a reflection of why in John 11:35, the two-word verse, Jesus wept. Why? Because he never wanted us to die. It was never his intention for us to die. The story goes on, and Jesus said, roll the stone away. And one of the sisters said, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He already begins to stink. But Jesus ignored her, and he said, remove the stone. And he called Lazarus by name. He said, come out from the tomb. The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips, and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. And I've already said this, but I think it bears repeating. Jesus is the author of life. And he is, as he says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The very way that he raised himself from the grave, he will raise us from the grave.
As we come to the end of today's study, don't let the story stop with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Let it lead you to the one who stood before the tomb and declared, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus didn't just demonstrate his power over death. He proved that he alone is the source of eternal life for all who believe in him. Our hope isn't found in circumstances changing. Our hope is found in Christ, who conquered sin, death, and the grave. As always, we encourage you to check everything through the lens of the Scriptures. Be like the noble Bereans of Paul's day, searching the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. If this message has encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs the hope of the gospel. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ. For there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations. For we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.